The title of my message today is Pope Francis Flames Fundamentalists. Daniel 8, through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Dear Lord, we live in perilous times. God, it's time for us to get focused upon you, Lord, in these last days, Lord. We know, Father, that you are coming soon. We know also, Lord, that the great falling away, the deception, is already taking place. We do pray that we'll be what you want us to be. We'll be watching and waiting and ready, zealous for you, Lord, not slack and slothful and apathetic. We do thank you for your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There are so many issues, if you could turn that down a little bit, that's a little strange sound we got here. There are so many issues concerning the present pope and all of these popes that I could and should address, and we probably will do so soon. I think of the Pope's propaganda concerning Martians, aliens. It seems that he's joining with the Masons at NASA to prepare the world for the big lie. In fact, I do believe that NASA has a big announcement to make tomorrow, something about Mars, or who knows what they're going to try to say. But we could speak about this great deception, the big lie, the alien talk that this Pope continues to put forth. In fact, when the Pope was elected, he said, "It seems to me that my brother cardinals have chosen one who is from far away. Here I am." Now, of course, he's from the Americas, and I'm sure he's talking about that, but who knows? Maybe he's from the bottomless pit. I'm not sure for him, but someone will soon come up from the bottomless pit and go into perdition. One of these fellas. Then there is the illegal alien issue. The Catholic Church has been working ever since the founding of our nation to destroy our Bill of Rights. They do not believe in religious liberty. They do not believe in the Bill of Rights. Unless they're going to contradict many of their former popes, the Catholic Church is opposed to religious liberty. And they were open in the 19th century about their plan to destroy America gradually through immigration. And the Roman Catholic Corps is now finally realizing this goal. They've pretty much taken over the government in America, and now the government is making decisions to continue flooding America with Roman Catholics. Right down to planned photo ops with immigrant children. So there's so much wrong with this counterfeit Christian church. And let's not forget, it's not just a church, it is a government. The Catholic Church has its own border wall. The Catholic Church has the toughest immigration policy there is. And while we're speaking of hypocrisy, the Vatican no doubt has billions in gold, in relics, and capitalist stocks. I like what Don Boyce says. He says, if the Vatican and the Pope really cared about the poor, let them have the world's biggest garage sale. Let them sell one of John the Baptist's skulls. But all of these people, these politicians, when they talk about giving to the poor, when they talk about the golden rule, when they talk about self-sacrifice, if it's Bill Clinton quoting the Sermon on the Mount, if it's Jimmy Carter quoting the Sermon on the Mount, always remember, 9 times out of 10, when one of these leftist liberal politicians quote the Sermon on the Mount, what they mean is to use the power of the government to tax those that are earning money to give to whoever they want to give it to. So they're talking about a welfare state. That's what he means. He's not talking about going and selling the art of the Vatican or the gold or their stocks. So, but notice, biography.com says in regard to Pope Francis, his tenure has been characterized by humility and outspoken support of the world's poor. What does he mean by support of the world's poor? He means you need to change the policies of your country to continue giving free everything to continue this socialist welfare state. And that's what he means. So whether it's talking about Martians or whether it's talking about illegal immigration or taking money from those that are earning it and giving it to those that are not earning it, there are so many things that we could discuss concerning the false doctrine of the Catholic Church, as well as their statements that they've been making through the Pope. So many right-wing conservatives are now upset with the present Pope for his radical left-wing ideology and all of his statements that he's been making. But they need to open their eyes to the fact that it's not this present Pope. The Catholic Church has been socialist and left-wing throughout the whole 20th century, ever since socialism was born. And many people have proved that. But see, it's not politically correct to expose them, so everybody just pretends like the Catholic Church is this Christian church with right-wing policies, or shall we say biblical policies, but it is not true. So sometimes I'm amazed when these conservatives get in the news and begin to talk about how this Pope is left-wing. But the Republican Party in America has been associated with Catholics for a long time. And sooner or later, they're going to have to realize that, you know what, they're the problem. They're a big part of the problem. But it's not politically correct to say that, because then you'll be called a bigot. So you have to say Islam is good, Catholicism is good, all of these things that are basically wanting to destroy our Bill of Rights and destroy religious liberty. You've been pretty much programmed to say these things are good. But I want to get to the root of the matter today. I want to deal with the Pope's statements against fundamentalism, or fundamental Christians, actually. When I say Francis Flames fundamentalist, I mean that he is basically insulting, scorning, decrying, and also making some of us quite angry. You should be angry with righteous indignation for what this Pope is saying about godly Christians. What you need to understand is that the Roman Catholic Church represents the embodiment of the counterfeit church. It is the great whore. It is the antithesis to Bible-believing, faithful, fundamental Christians. It is a counterfeit. And what you also need to understand is that the Catholic Church has many daughters who disagree with her in some things, but follow the same ways and the same manner of propaganda that they use. For example, you have the growing charismatic megachurches and this whole what they call charismatic renewal movement, and it's starting to associate with the Catholic Church, and it's starting to pretty much say we need to go back to Papa Pope. We need to all come together in our big ecumenical unity. And they're all embracing the same mysticism, the same pagan mysticism. Though they have a form of godliness, they're denying the power thereof. And they are uniting right now, and they will continue to unite until you have one giant world church that will become a state church, and all other religions will be either incorporated into that state church, or they will be declared illegal, negative. One of their uniting factors. They have many disagreements and many differences, and the Pope praises this diversity, but one thing they have in common is their hatred, their scorn for fundamental Christians. Remember, Herod and Pilate were opposed to one another, but they made friends when it came to opposing Jesus, you understand. And there are many in the world that are joining hands right now because of their scorn for fundamental Christians. The word fundamental is just a word used by them for those who take the Bible literally, those that are zealously dedicated to the Lord and His Word. If you're on fire about God's commandments, if you believe that we ought to take God's commandments literally and not play games with them, if you believe in reading the Bible, the King James Bible, for what it says and following what God teaches there, then you are called a fundamentalist. And these are the Christians that have been killed and burned and tortured by Rome. I said by Rome, down through the ages. One problem with America today is people are not aware of the suffering that Baptists have gone through to give you America that you have today, so you can be free to come to church and worship God. There was a time not very long ago when doing what I'm doing right now, somebody would bust down the door, the policeman would grab me, throw me down on the ground, basically put a gun to my head, drag me outside, whip me, and take me to jail, and all of you, basically, if you tried to stop it. And they would say, this is an illegal pastor, he is not licensed. Now you go back a few years before that, and they would have burned you. They would have strangled you, tortured you. To read that Bible, you would be tortured. Well, the Pope is not going to take away your Bible, not right now. They're just going to continue to flood you with other Bibles that are not Bibles, and hopefully you'll embrace those. And if you don't, the whole goal is it doesn't matter anyway, because they're teaching you a pagan mysticism, which we'll get to in a second, where basically even though you have the Bible, you are so deceived about theology that you believe that it's wrong to read it literally. It's wrong to actually even understand it. You're to just seek God with some type of mystical experience, and we'll get to that here in a second. But I want you to understand that your forefathers that you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ with, who have been tortured and killed and burned and persecuted and jailed and whipped, and they're going to say, what did you do for the Lord? And in many ways, you're going to show in your body what you have done, the amount of glory that you're going to have. And some are going to appear in shame in the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be in shame, loving this world more than you love God, putting the things of this world before our Lord Jesus Christ. Why were these Christians killed? Because they were fundamental. In other words, they said, I'm not bowing down to a wafer. When that priest would do his magic and hold up that host and these Christians says that's a way for God. I'm not bowing down to some way for God. They said, well, you'll die for it. Men like John Huss and Jerome of Prague and others were burned at the stake. They were declared to be witches, followers of Satan. They were caught reading the Bible. They were caught not baptizing their children. They're little babies, in other words. They were caught not bowing down to the way for God. And they were burned. And when Rome gets in power again, listen to me, she will incite them by sorcery. That is, she will incite the people of the world into hatred against fundamental Bible-believing Christians. See, Rome basically has tried to say for years, they had to backtrack on it a little bit because it was so ridiculous, but they had to say for years, now wait a second, we never killed anybody. I mean, we never did that. That was the policemen that did that. That was the soldiers. That was the kings. We never did any of that, you know. No, they would just told the police that we'll excommunicate you unless you go after these Christians and torture them. So when the woman rides the beast, she controls the state, and Jezebel says, basically, you go and do what I say, or you will get in trouble. We'll excommunicate you. Then you'll be removed from being king. Nobody will follow you. And right now, Rome is using its sorcery, using its propaganda to manipulate the people of the world into despising fundamental Bible-believing Christians. And the goal is to finally incite them into a bloodthirsty, listen to me, a bloodthirsty witch hunt. So we can all sit here with our eyes rolling back in our head and thinking about other things. But I'm telling you soon, when you're watching your fellow brothers and sisters being hauled off and being imprisoned, and you're just sitting back in your little la-la land, I'm going to tell you something. It's because of the apathy. It's because the Christians do not care. It's because they don't care about God. They don't care about the Bible. And when any time a preacher, a magistrate in the church will try to get stirred up about things and try to hold them accountable and get them moving, they despise him, see. They despise the preaching. They will not endure sound doctrine. Right before the world's coming Halloween, that wicked holiday that many Christians are partaking of, because they have, God forbid that you deny your children, that's what they say, you know. We must give them everything that the world gives them. If the world gives them little sugar and rots their teeth, I have to do it. If the world gives them Halloween, I have to do it, because I can't deny my child. I cannot think outside the box, you understand. I've got to do whatever the world tells me to do. But right before the world's Halloween, I plan to preach an important sermon titled Witch Hunt. And I'm going to expose how manipulators who are into forms of witchcraft themselves through oils or whatever they want to call it, I'm going to show how they use their propaganda, their scheming ways and words to incite riots, to incite bloodbath, a lynch mob. And there's people who are victims of these manipulators who will do the dirty work for them. See, the Catholic Church would incite the kings and the government of whatever land against the Bible believers. See, they stirred it up. Why? Because the Catholic Church is one big giant embodiment of pagan witchcraft. And it's very possible, in fact it happens often, that people use the same propaganda, the same manipulation to sow discord in families, to sow discord in churches, to sow discord in communities. And I want you to keep in mind this, that this present Pope is a leader of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is a merger between paganism and Christianity. The early Catholics admitted that. They said, well, of course, we're just, you know, these pagans want to bow down to statues. They want to do all of their pagan rituals. So we're just going to change the name, you know, instead of bowing down to some goddess, we'll let them bow down to Mary. We're going to do the same things, give them the same statues, the same paganism, but that's how we're going to make Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. That's how this works. You just merge Christianity with paganism into a one world religion. That was their goal back then. That's their goal today. But do not forget that the Pope is not just a leader of this pagan so-called Christian church. The present Pope is the first Jesuit Pope. The Jesuits were started by Ignatius of Loyola, who would basically do these Eastern mystical occult meditation techniques. And the Jesuits began to teach Catholics how to use manipulation and propaganda. In fact, the word Jesuit became pretty much a synonym for somebody that was cunning, somebody that would trick you, somebody that was sly, somebody that used doublespeak. I'm going to expose some of this in this Jesuit Pope. Now, our early fathers of our country, the founding fathers of our nation, they were very aware of the danger of the Roman Catholic Church as well as the Jesuits. Look at John Adams in 1821. Can a free government possibly exist with the Roman Catholic religion? Now, this is called common sense. If you have a pope that says, hey, guess what? We hate your country, we hate your constitution, we hate your Bill of Rights, and the Catholic Church can't wait to get back in control so we can persecute you all again. You have no right to be to worship God as you decide. So if you have this type of thing, and that pope represents actually not just a church, but another government, another political government, they understood the danger of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what if the Roman Catholic Church smiles and they put somebody like this present pope with a nice little baby face and he gets up there and smiles and everybody says, oh, the Catholic Church isn't going to kill anybody. Really? When you got a Bible here that predicts that it's going to become bloodthirsty again? Where has the Catholic Church ever repudiated its right to put people to death? Its so-called right. They claim they have the keys of Peter. John Adams, again, before this, in 1816, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, says, I do not like the reappearance of the what? Of the Jesuits. Shall we not have regular swarms of them here in as many disguises, dressed as printers, publishers, writers, and schoolmasters? If ever there was a body of men who merited damnation on earth and in hell, it is this society of Loyolas. Nevertheless, we are compelled by our system of religious toleration to offer them an asylum. In other words, the early founders of our country said, we got a problem here, folks. What do you do when Muslims come over who basically follow their Quran and says it's okay to lie to the infidel so you can gain power and kill him? What do you do when you have Jesuits who basically say it's okay to lie, God will look the other way if you lie to further Catholicism? And our whole goal is to take over the country and deny religious liberty. What do you do when people like this flock into your country? Well, the Christians got afraid. They said, I don't know what we can do. How about we just get their children? How about we institute public school and we force them to go to school, and then when their little Catholic kids come in here, we'll teach them about our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Yeah, that'll work. Did it work? No, it didn't work. They ended up basically just the public school got taken over by the Catholic Church, and now they're one big pagan humanist indoctrinating church themselves. So that didn't work. Really, you got to have some common sense. You got to say, we're going to continue to speak against these things, not persecute these other doctrines, but the idea that you're supposed to embrace communists and Catholics and Muslims is a very strange idea in the name of toleration. The Jesuits have been historically known for their lies and for their deceit. And Pope Francis, here's why he's been chosen. He's been chosen to use his Jesuit skills to strike a hard balance. In other words, they put the Pope before him that pretended like he's this strict moral Pope, and everybody kind of backed away from the Catholic Church, and they're already angry with the Catholic Church because of the molestation of all the thousands of boys by these sodomite priests. So they always give a contrast. So then what they do is, right when you're thinking, oh no, the Catholic Church is getting stern and rigid again, then they bring Pope Francis, and everybody rushes and makes him on the front page of Time magazine. Why? Because he's soft and tolerant and telling people what they want to hear. So what's the goal of this Jesuit Pope? It's to strike a balance. He must improve Rome's stained image because of the sodomite priests, yet he must keep the church and the world marching toward this ultimate sodomite, androgynous paganism. So he has to pretty much keep everything moving. So the next thing's pedophilia and all of that. He's got to keep you moving toward this degeneration, but he must also not do it too fast, see? He can't shock you, but he has to keep the world marching forward. So the whore, this Catholic Church, must pour out its fornication on all nations, but not move too fast. See? Because you'll run away. That's what happened with the Catholic priest scandal. If you think for a second the Catholic Church is against the rape of little boys, I mean, you need to wake up. You really do. The whole foundation of the Catholic Church is paganism. At the heart of paganism is sodomy and homosexuality. And when you look at the early Greece, homosexuality, Grecian homosexuality, etc., they went after little boys. See? And so that's where they're going. That's the goal. The celibacy of these priests and going after the little boys. But the problem is, when their inner paganism, when the world in its culture has not yet caught up with their depravity, then they have to cover things. They have to smooth over everything. And that's what this Pope is doing. He has to keep things moving while at the same time he polishes the image of the Catholic Church. So notice Revelation 17, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth, notice this now, have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So that same spirit that molests little boys is in this church, it's in its Bible doctrine, it's in its theology, it's in its philosophy, and it's going to spread that wine, that delusion, that propaganda throughout the world. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In other words, the source of it. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Uh-oh, that's not just in the 1300s and the 1400s and the 1500s. That's not just the Spanish Inquisition, folks. That's looking into the future, that's still future from us. This is a coming persecution that this Roman Catholic Church, as a world church, will begin to unleash on the fundamentalist. Who are they going to persecute? Whoever is the Bible believer, whoever opposes her as the whore of Babylon, whoever gets in the way of the world government, as H.G. Wells and all these others that were insiders, they all pretty much said, all the New Agers, all these people looking for world government, says there's got to be a great purging first. It's going to be really, really bad. It's going to get bloody. We try to do it by propaganda, but if you folks aren't going to allow us to deceive you and you're going to continue to expose us, pretty much we're going to have to unleash more stern measures. So you will go along with this world government, and if people try to get in the way, right now we're living in a sort of enlightenment, if you will. Sure, everybody's everywhere doing whatever's right in their own eyes, but there is a lot of truth that is, and people are finally basically waking up, and they had to come to the realization that, you mean my government can lie? You mean, okay, my doctor can lie? You mean all of these people can be lovers of money? And a person begins to wake up. And when they first begin to realize, wait a second, everything is not as they have programmed me to believe, then that opens you up for what else have they lied about? See, and now everybody's in this rush to find out what all have I been lied to about? I've been lied to about my food. I've been lied to about public school. I've been lied to about all of these various things. And so during this time, it's creating a problem for those that have been marching toward world government. Because when you get out from under the propaganda, the only other option is to persecute you, to force you to comply. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. The Bible says that woman is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That was Rome when John wrote it. And Rome is, of course, the city on these seven mountains. The Roman coins would have the city on seven hills there. And so we know this is the Catholic Church. And she not only sits on the seven mountains of Rome, but he says, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Somehow another is the woman. She sits upon the seven hills geographically, but as her personality, as her whoredom, she sits upon all the nations of the world because the Catholic Church sits there. And she has Catholics, millions of them, all over the world. And she pours out her paganism, this fornication, among the whole world. Look at Revelation 18. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So I want you to put this together. She has this wine. It's the wine of her fornication. And she deceives all the nations of the world. But she's really doing it by sorcery. They are made drunk. They're deceived. Why? By the wine of her fornication. What is that? Her sorcery. I believe it's literal wine and figurative wine. We've got a drug culture, a drug movement where everybody's on dope somehow or another, but you also have this sorcery. Rome, through its final leader, will deceive the whole world by trickery, by sorcery, by deceitful speeches. And I'm going to tell you something. Pope Francis appears to be doing everything he can to fulfill the coming prophecies in the book of Revelation. Now, John Paul II, he really, I think that fella thought he was the Antichrist. I mean, he really wanted to be, it seems to me. He was born, I mean, right when he's born, there's an eclipse of the sun, you know, and John Paul, he basically says we need to bring all religions together, and you would have these snake worshipers with their bongo drums. Sounds like a modern charismatic church. And he would basically say to the God, to the Father of us all, and you had all these occult voodoo, all these people. And basically he said, we're all have the same God, the same Father. And John Paul was waiting. He said, I'm waiting for a sign from Mary. And I'm going to show the world. I got a message to bring to the world. Then he died. I mean, he was doing everything he could to fulfill. I mean, I got saved thinking he was the Antichrist. You understand? I mean, he was doing everything he could to believe or to try to be the Antichrist. But now Pope Francis is in many ways outdoing John Paul II. Talk about deceit. And he's the first Jesuit. I mean, he's the Joel Osteen of the Catholic Church, but he's able to do what Joel Osteen could never do. He's doing it on a worldwide scale, see. And whether he is the Antichrist or the false prophet, depending on how you slice prophecy, the Pope is a Antichrist. You understand that? And he is walking in the spirit of Antichrist. You need to understand that. You need to know. People say, do you think Francis is the Antichrist? He might be. But I can tell you one thing. He is Antichrist. And number two, he's walking in the spirit of Antichrist. And they say, but wait a minute. That's such a terrible thing to say. He's for peace. Well, what in the world do you think the Antichrist who comes is going to be for? Look at 1 John 4. You got to watch out. When people talk a whole lot about peace and love and toleration, they're probably about to kill you. I mean, you'll never see more hatred than people. I mean, they'll imprison you, they'll lie about you, they'll slander you, they'll jail you, they'll kidnap your children, they'll kill you. And the whole time thinking they're doing God's service, talking about love, I'm talking about toleration, talking about peace. Notice the spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world when John wrote his epistle. And Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That is the day of the Lord's second coming in Armageddon to establish his kingdom. The sunrise of the Lord's coming. That is not going to come until there be a falling away first. If you have a falling away, that means a lot of Christians fall away from the truth. And not just Christians, but the nations, all of this. They fall away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So even though there's this coming son of perdition, even though there's this coming Antichrist, Paul says, but the mystery of iniquity already works. There's already a spirit of Antichrist. And these ways and deceptions that the coming Antichrist will use when he is fully manifested are very much present in a detailed manner in Pope Francis. Are we listening? I'm telling you that Pope Francis is using the very techniques, the very propaganda that the coming Antichrist will use. If he's not the Antichrist, he's certainly walking in the ways of the coming Antichrist. And listen to me, because these very ways of Antichrist are being used by many today to split families, to split churches, and to accomplish the devil's will. Now, the problem with people is this. This Jesuit sorcery or witchcraft must not be thought of merely in a fairy tale form. You got these Harry Potter books and all these fairy tales, and you've got witches with their little brew and their hocus pocus mess, you know, and their spells. I'm not saying they don't do that. But you need to understand that witchcraft doesn't need to be called witchcraft to still be witchcraft. Sometimes it's called positive thinking. You know, sometimes you sell it to Americans as white witchcraft or positive thinking, or you just get rid of the whole witch idea. You could call it some form of Christianity and still teach people witchcraft. So you must understand that when you look at this Jesuit Pope and you say, I don't see any witchcraft. Wait a second. Hold on a second. Wait a second. You don't understand sorcery. You don't see how he's manipulating people. You don't see how he's using words to deceive people? I mean, the devil didn't have to come and drop some potion on the head of Eve. He just appeared as a serpent and he began to talk to her in this manipulative way and to seduce her from the truth. You can see how Hitler used this type of propaganda Jesuit witchcraft. I mean, when you watch these old videos and read his speeches, you're like, I can't believe this. Look at it. Look how he controls. Look how he talks about being a Christian. Look how he inflames the people's lust and their fears, and he manipulates those people's fears and their lusts. So let's open the Bible and take a look at this aspect of sorcery, and then you'll understand more what Pope Francis is doing. Acts chapter 8 verse 9 says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, what did he use? He used sorcery. And what did he do? He bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So see, that is an aspect of sorcery. To put forth that you're some great one, that you know what you're talking about, that no, you don't understand, I'm an expert in these things. And to put forth this type of, where people listen to these women and they begin to say, oh, but she knows what she's talking about. You know, she studied these things. She has a degree in these things. And you begin to follow them, see. Oh, I'm getting dreams and visions. You got to listen to what I'm saying. And they give out that they're this great one in touch with God. And then people begin to follow them. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now compare that to 2 Peter 2 about these false teachers that are enter in among you in the last days, says Peter. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. There it is, through much wantonness. In other words, they know you want to rebel and leave your house. They know you want to get out from under a fundamental preacher. They know what your lusts are. They can see it in you. They can read it. And they can see your vulnerability. And they say, I think I can get that little girl to rebel. I think I can get that woman to rebel. Oh, she's starting to get weak. I'm starting to see some shakiness in her. She's starting to get a little attitude. Oh, I can prey upon that attitude. I can give her a little bait and you watch what I can do to her. And that's what they do. That's a form of witchcraft, people. That is a form of satanic manipulation. And whether they use spells and oils and all of that other stuff is really beside the point. They might use that and their manipulation techniques. While they promised them liberty, what did the devil do? I mean, he's the ultimate wizard, isn't he? But he came in and just says, hey, look over there at that. Doesn't that look good? Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Oh, but God doth know. He's basically holding back on you. You can be a god. He promised Eve liberty, but he made her a servant of death. And they themselves are the servants of corruption. So these people are slaves to various wicked sins, adulteries, and all of these various things they're slaves to. But they go and manipulate these vulnerable people with this form of witchcraft, and they allure through the lust of the flesh. And some of these witches don't even maybe know they're witches. Some of these drama queens who can manipulate people. Now, when I refer to some women who split churches and families as witches, don't just roll your eyes and say, well, pastor's just using colorful language. He's just exaggerating. He's just speaking carelessly. No. They may have grown up in a real cult that is founded on sorcery, such as the New Age or the Mormons or something like that. Some various forms of name it and claim it, charismania. If you want to see the witchcraft that's in these charismatic churches, read Dave Hunt's Beyond Seduction, The Sorcerer's New Apprentice, and some of these books, and you'll see what's happening. So some of these people were raised in these types of things. Or maybe they just learned it from Hollywood. I mean, you sit in front of Hollywood much, you're going to learn witchcraft. You're going to learn manipulation. Maybe they learned it from psychological college courses. You know, they study these psychiatrists like Carl Jung and all of these, and they learned this sorcery from college. I don't know where you got it. I don't know if they got it from TV, if they got it from movies, if they got it from college courses, if they got it from some cult they were raised in or some type of church that was into this witchcraft. But whatever it is, instead of repudiating this sorcery, they use it to manipulate people for their own ends. And remember, what gives it power is this. They are simply getting people to follow some lust or fear or insecurity that they already have. See? And they begin to feed these lusts. The devil wanted her to look at that tree. Just look at it. Didn't it look good for you? I mean, and when she saw that it was good for food and that it looked nice and she began to gaze at it, then he was able to, he pretty much said, okay, you just go ahead and keep looking at it. Keep looking at it. I'm going to put the bait before you, and then I'm going to promise you that if you'll eat that, you're not going to surely die. You'll be a god. See. If you look at some of these marketers, I mean, people are basically hiring witches, folks. Many commercials today is really a form of witchcraft. These marketers, these propaganda so-called experts have been hired to get you to do what they want you to do. And what they do is they prey upon your lusts and they manipulate them. Now, some people are easily manipulated. We have the simple-minded people who are simple in a bad way. They're not simple concerning evil, but they're simple in the sense that they're gullible. They believe every word. They're very impressionable. You have many people that are very impressionable. And these are the people that can be easily hypnotized, easily charmed. Tell them you're calling back. Even before I was saved, I often hated Hollywood's emotional manipulation. I was a terrible person to go to the movies with. Even before I was saved, I couldn't stand it. I would get right in the middle of that movie where they're, I mean, it's the emotional part and they're trying to bring forth, get you to think a certain way and they're using the emotion. And I just couldn't sit there and watch it. I would be the one that would say, okay, this is ridiculous. I can't take this anymore. Okay, I'm getting up. Come on, let's leave. Let's go. And there'd be people crying with their tissue. Just hush up, shut up, shut up. And I would ruin the movie because I just could not stand the emotional manipulation, you understand. It's not that I'm against emotion for a good cause. I'm against people dishonestly trying to get people to think a certain way by using this type of propaganda. I hated it. And I don't like this passivity, this blindness that we tend to have. It's like a doctor's office, you know. Go into a doctor's office with people, you know. You go to the doctor and the surgeon comes out and says, well, I decided to cut a few more body parts out of him, you know. I had him open. I might as well do that. And I'm just sitting here. And here, you need to take this drug and we're going to cut this and we're going to do that. And I'm like, do you know what they're giving you? What are they doing here? See, in other words, this passivity that just says they're the experts, we're just gonna, they'll never deceive us, we'll just turn over our whole body, and that's what they want to do. They want to come in and basically poke you, cut you, drug you, do whatever they want to do, and you're to shut up and take your medicine. Well, I have a problem with that type of passivity. Now, everybody stands up and he says, well, can I talk to the doctor? And he comes out and he gives you 2 minutes. And then you feel like you've done something. See, I was a good, responsible father. I've done something for my child. I talked to the priest for 2 minutes. And the whole time he's looking at you like, don't you dare ask me any questions. I know there's good doctors somewhere. Luke was a good physician in the Bible. He was a beloved physician. But I'm just telling you, we got a lot of passivity in America. We got a lot of gullible people. We got a lot of people basically sitting under these commercials, sitting under this whole system. And I'm telling you that ultimately the whore of Babylon is pouring out her manipulations. And we've got people that are pretty much following this stuff. This Jesuit Pope is spewing forth his propaganda. And many are ripe for this propaganda because they've been primed for it. So everybody's been waiting for this Pope to give his speech to Congress. He's the first Pope, not only the first Jesuit Pope, he's the first Pope to ever give a speech before Congress. He's been invited to give a speech before Congress. Even modern newspaper says this would have been unheard of in previous decades. You would have had people walk out. You would have had so many people that said, I'm not going to allow the Pope to come in here. And but the Speaker of the House called him Holy Father. They always do. Holy Father. And he said, it is with reverence. It is with reverence and admiration that I have invited Pope Francis. Reverence? Holy Father? Reverence? This is Congress? This is America? And in his speech that he gave to Congress a few days ago, when a few critics began to expose his left-wing propaganda, Almost nobody has addressed the very heart of his speech. The very heart of his speech, I believe, is a continued attack on fundamental Christians. In other words, the Pope went before Congress and he insulted, degraded, despised, and incited hatred against fundamental Christians. And nobody says anything. Nobody cares. Nobody even notices hardly. Why are so many quiet? You know why? Because many people believe just like the Pope on that subject. See, the people of America look over there at Islam and they see these people blowing up buildings and blowing up people and killing people. And they call that radical Islam. And then the media says fundamentalist Islam, the fundamentalist of the Middle East. They use that word fundamentalist, fundamentalist, fundamentalist. And then when somebody in America like Timothy McVeigh blows up a building, even though he's a Darwinian follower of, you know, in other words, he doesn't even believe in God. Nevertheless, he's called a fundamentalist. Do you see how it works? So you're to basically believe that fundamentalists, whether they're fundamental Christians or fundamental Islam, whatever they are, the fundamentalist blows up people and kills people and is evil. So after decades of this type of propaganda from the media, when the Pope's, and not only from the media, but from Hollywood and all of these movies, so when the Pope, from these cartoons and everything, so when the Pope stands up and attacks fundamental Christians, instead of people saying, "How dare you?" and they get up and they rebuke him and they say, "Don't you dare come into our nation, into our country, into our very Congress and insult so many good Christians around America. Don't you dare do it." Nobody says anything. The Speaker of the House gets his little tissue out and starts crying. You know why everybody's quiet? Because they hate you too. Do you know why they're quiet about the Pope insulting fundamental Christians? Because they hate you just as much as the Pope does. In the early part of the 20th century, I want to show you how fast everything has fallen. In the early part of the 20th century, the presidents, I said the president, and the men in high government went out of their way to identify with fundamentalists. If you ask them, basically, an interviewer came up and says, "Listen, President, so-and-so, are you a fundamentalist? Are you one of these modernists that believe in evolution?" They'd say, "I'm a fundamentalist." The mayors would say, "I'm a fundamentalist." The governors would say, "I'm a fundamentalist." Everybody wanted to be a fundamentalist, see? Not a modernist, not a liberal. So the humanists and the Catholics and all of these basically said, "We got to do something." They'd already taken away the King James Bible in many people's eyes, or they were trying to attack it and replace it, but things were not moving fast enough. So they began to stage a trial in Tennessee, and they used the radio, which was new at the time, to broadcast propaganda all around the world. It's called the Scopes Trial. And what they did was they put the prosecutor down. "Brother Mike, you're going to be William Jennings Bryan, okay? You're going to be the prosecutor on the other side." And he went over and says, "Okay, you say you believe in that Bible. Explain this, explain that. Do you believe there was a literal flood? Do you believe all of that?" And the judge would be angry. You know, he was on the Christian side. The judge would say, we're going to put an end to this. Stop." And William Jennings Bryan says, no, I'll answer. Well, William Jennings Bryan didn't know his Bible as much. You know, he's probably a good lawyer, but he didn't know his Bible. He wasn't as much of a literalist as he should be. But he did a pretty good job. And he tried to answer all the questions. The judge tried to stop it. And William Jennings Bryan basically said, "This is ridiculous. This isn't, we're supposed to be having a trial about this teacher that's teaching evolution. This isn't about the Bible. This fellow's putting the Bible on trial." But nevertheless, Judge, Your Honor, let's go ahead and let him go ahead and put the Bible on trial, because I can't wait to get up and show how stupid and moronic what he believes really is. So go ahead, we'll go through this. So they basically put him and they broadcast it on the radio. He got him to answer all these questions. They made him look as stupid as they could, but the people of Tennessee were hooting and hollering, and they were for the country fella. I mean, they were for the Christian fella. And Then, when he got up and he says, okay, my turn now. Sit down. Because we're going to show you your ridiculous monkey beliefs. We're going to basically expose your evolution for the insanity that it is, and we're going to show the whole world how stupid it is what you believe. Oh, Clarence Darrow says, oh, well, we throw the trial. We're done. See you later. And William Jennings Bryan said, whoa, wait, you got to sit still. You got to let me cross-examine you. Wait a minute. No. I said, oh, that's okay. We're done. You win. Bye-bye. It was never about defending this fella from Tennessee. It was propaganda. And these evolutionists, you never see them want to debate. You know why? Because it's not about debate. It's about propaganda, see. It's about propaganda. Controlling people. Controlling public opinion. Even history.hanover.edu, listen to what they say. In March 1925, the Tennessee legislature made it illegal to teach evolution in the public schools. Later that year, John Scopes, a high school teacher in Dayton, Tennessee, was charged with teaching evolution. It was easy enough to show that he had broken the law. The basic biology textbook he assigned included evolution. Scopes lost his case, but the trial is most significant for its effect on public opinion. William Jennings Bryan represented the traditionalist, and Clarence Darrow represented the modernist. The prosecutors won their case in court, but the ideas they represented lost considerable prestige. Well, of course, that was the day of the Roaring Twenties and women cutting their hair and smoking cigarettes and all of that type of thing. And so, fundamentalism began to fall out of fashion. Here's the transcript from, I suggest you go online, look at this link I gave you, and actually read this whole transcript. It's very eye-opening. But here's the actual transcript, or here's part of it. The defense maintains that the book of Genesis is in part a hymn, in part an allegory, a work of religious interpretation written by men who believe that the earth was flat and whose authority cannot be accepted to control the teachings of science in our schools. The narrow purpose of the defense is to establish the innocence of defendant Scopes. The broad purpose of the defense will be to prove that the Bible is a work of religious aspiration and rules of conduct which must be kept in the field of theology. In other words, you keep your Bible in your church, but don't bring it into the schoolhouse where the scientists rule. And this was a planned attack. This was a planned attack. And it was to make Christianity look backwards and uneducated, and it was propaganda. So what happened then? So here you got every president wanting to be a fundamentalist. You've got all the high men in high office wanting to say, I'm a fundamentalist. Well, after 1925, they began to be ashamed of fundamentalism. They began to be embarrassed by it because nobody wanted to appear uneducated, you know. Well, then they went into high gear. The Rockefellers and all these folks that wanted a world government, they began to use their money to bring forth a world church. But how can you have a world church in America, brother, unless you get rid of fundamental Christianity? Fundamental Christianity, it needs to be stopped. How do we stop fundamental Christianity? So they funded Billy Graham and Christianity Today. And they created this thing called New Evangelicalism, where he became the fundamentalist pastor. But wait a second. He became America's pastor. He was on the face of every newspaper, the face of every magazine. This is Billy Graham. He's our man. He's America's pastor. And then they couldn't wait to get an interview with him. And they'd say, Billy Graham, what do you believe about the Bible? Should we take it literally? Oh, no. You believe in a literal hell? Oh, no. What about Catholics? Oh, Catholics are wonderful, you know. They're just like us, and we all believe the same thing. And so he began to basically destroy fundamentalism from within, see. And that went on for decade after decade after decade, to where, with Hollywood propaganda and public school education and all this finance religious propaganda, now the Pope comes to America and he makes his attack. And everybody's ready for it. How does he pour out the wine of the whore's fornication? Genesis 3, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. First he just cast doubt. You know how Joel Osteen did. Pope Francis in the New York Times says, if somebody is gay and he seeks for the Lord and his goodwill, who am I to judge? Oh, they love him, Brother Orlando. They love the new Pope. He says, who am I to judge? See, Pope Francis in The Independent says, evolution is not inconsistent with the notion of creation. In other words, we believe in evolution. We believe in the Big Bang. He's not going to just come out and endorse homosexuality, but he's going to start moving people that way by first getting you to question everything. The emerging church, you know, we're just going to question everything. In September 25, speaking yesterday in the U.S. Capitol building before a joint session of Congress, the first pope ever to do so, Francis was, by turns, subtle and blatant in his list of appeals to the lawmakers, but always with the calculated message for which his order of the Jesuits is known. That's amazing, isn't it? Yet the statement made by Francis of perhaps the most potential consequence for the dynamics of U.S. politics went largely unnoticed. We must be especially attentive to every type of fundamentalism, he said, whether religious or any other kind. Well, what's this pope saying with his Jesuit trickery? According to The Independent in the UK, look at their headline. Pope Francis warns against fundamentalism in historic speech to joint sessions of Congress. They understood what he was saying. It is the first time any pope has. Pope Francis today made history by delivering an address to a joint session of the U.S. Congress praising self-sacrifice, that means voting Democrat, and warning against fundamentalism. There it is. Warning against fundamentalism. There's the pope. Look at him. See how nice he looks? Time.com says in their transcript, I'm sorry, this is the transcript of what the Pope said when he stood before Congress. He says, I am most grateful for your invitation to address this joint session of Congress. Our world is increasingly a place of violent conflict, hatred, and brutal atrocities committed even in the name of God and of religion. I mean, it would have been hard for me if I was there to say, stop! You mean like 1,500 years of the Catholic whore killing Christians? I mean, yeah, you're right. We know that no religion is immune from forms of individual delusion or ideological extremism. This means that we must be especially attentive to every type of fundamentalism, whether religious or any other kind. The simplistic reductionism which sees only good or evil, or if you will, the righteous and sinners. We must move forward together as one in a renewed spirit of fraternity. In other words, you're not allowed to call Catholics unbelievers now. You can't go and call them sinners. You can't say that the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. No, we must all come together, see. We must all come together. So you fundamentalists need to be quiet, you need to sit down, and we need to get along. How much blood has been shed by Christian fundamentalists? I was in an online debate with a priest one time, and I said, okay, just give me 10 Baptists that have ever killed anybody. I'm sure there's been lots of Baptists that have killed people, but he couldn't find any. He couldn't give me 10. But yet I gave him quote after quote after quote of historians showing the millions of people that were killed by the Catholic Church. Notice, the Pope says we need to get rid of this good or evil dichotomy. Okay, well, Isaiah 5 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. I mean, it pretty much exposes it, doesn't it? Isn't that what the Pope's saying? I mean, don't divide good from evil. Let's just blur it all together. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, which justify the wicked for reward. And that's what the Catholic Church is doing. The Pope goes on to say, several great Americans shaped fundamental values which will endure forever in the spirit of the American people. Excuse me, Mr. Pope, or Mrs. Pope, whatever you are. Excuse me, Francis. You're against fundamental Christians? But why did you just use the word fundamental values in a good way? Wait a second. If fundamentalism is real evil, is the great evil, what are fundamental values? Are they not the basic values that you ought to stand for? I would like to mention four of these Americans, says the Pope. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton. This year marks the 150th anniversary of the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln. You should know the Catholic Church killed him. Huh? I believe so. Fundamental relationships are being called into question. Wait a second. What's fundamental values and fundamental relationship? Is that not the bedrock of everything? Why is he using fundamental in a good way? Whoever wrote this speech is idiot. Well, They're smart in the sense of satanic cunning, but they kind of got some screws loose here. They use fundamental more than once in a good way, but then they're going to tell you fundamental Christians are bad. A nation can be considered great when it strives for the fruit of faith, which becomes dialogue and sows peace in the contemplative style of Thomas Merton. So, he is basically telling you, you need to find out who Thomas Merton is, and you need to walk in the contemplative style of worship. Now, you know what this means? Wikipedia says, and I quote Wikipedia not because it's a good source, but because I'm just showing you everybody agrees pretty much on what this is. In Christian mysticism, contemplative prayer or contemplation is a form of prayer distinct from vocal prayer. In discursive meditation, mind and imagination and other faculties are actively employed. In contemplative prayer, this activity is what? Curtailed. So in other words, you're not to use your mind, you're not to use your voice, you're not to use anything. You're just to sit there numb and silent and let your eyes roll back in your head. And basically, it's Eastern meditation. It's Eastern meditation disguised as prayer. You have Christians like Beth Moore, Focus on the Family, Richard Foster, and now this Jesuit Pope pushing mindless mysticism. So, what does the Pope do? He comes before Congress, he warns against fundamental Christians, and says, I want everybody to pretty much follow Martin Luther King and Thomas Merton. And Thomas Merton basically is a mystic. He is a mystic. Notice what Focus on the Family says in their question and answer online. They say there's nothing unbiblical or anti-Christian about solitude, silence, and contemplative prayer. Not at any rate as they have been practiced within the context of Christian history. He means Ignatius of Loyola, the Jesuit. As a matter of fact, these disciplines are part of a time-honored tradition. Yeah, a bunch of Jesuits, a bunch of Catholic mystics. That's your time-honored tradition? See, Focus on the Family wants to be open to Catholics as well as Protestants. And here they are. Now you know what they mean by focus when they say Focus on the Family. So you got Jesuit founder Ignatius of Loyola, which is known for his spiritual exercises. And now this is in Focus on the Family. It's entering Christianity through these Beth Moore books and all these folks. And now the Pope stood up in America. He's got to increase. Why do they want mindlessness? They want mindlessness because your Bible, if you have it, is not going to be any worth to you. If you don't read it and try to understand it, if you don't come to God and try to understand what He's saying, what good's the Bible? They've pretty much taught you to be a mystic, so the Bible's not a threat anymore. The Bible's not a threat anymore. Merton, this Thomas Merton that the Pope quoted, died in 1968. He was a Zen mystic, a Catholic mystic. He was uniting Eastern religion with a form of compromised Christianity. And he assumed that mystical experiences in every religion are valid and godly. So he was studying the American Indians before he died, trying to see how they let their eyes roll back in their head and basically meditate and that type of thing. Listen to what Christianity says. ChristianityToday.com, which of course, remember, is against fundamentalism. Christianity Today says, religious fundamentalism keeping God away from people, says Pope Francis. Here's the Pope. Fundamentalists keep God away from accompanying His people. They divert their minds from Him and transform Him into an ideology. So in the name of this ideological God, they kill, they attack, they destroy, they slander. In every religion, there will be a small group of fundamentalists. Pope Francis stressed that religion should do away with fundamentalism. Don't miss what he said here. He basically said, well, with fundamentalism, you have God in a book. Whatever that book says about God, that's what you believe. So you're worshiping the God of the book. But we, the mystics, we're separated from what the Word says, and we just experience God in the realm of our intuition and our feelings. So you'll see people leave fundamentalist churches, and they embrace this Jesuit sorcery, this witchcraft. And they'll get together on the phone and they'll say, yes, I finally fell in love with Jesus. You know, that church just taught me the Jesus of the Bible, but I've learned to really know Jesus. Wait a second. How can you know Jesus and not follow His Word? How can you know anything about Jesus that's not rooted in His Word? That's like the Sodomite church, the Broadway Baptist that was letting sodomites come in and invade their church and be members of their church. Remember that pastor when I sat before him and I said, what are you doing? How do you justify this wickedness? He said, and I would quote him the book of Jude and elsewhere. He said, no, you're quoting the Bible. Why don't you learn about the God that's outside the Bible? I said, that's real convenient. Yeah, I bet that is what you want, a God outside the Bible. I'm sure you do want some mystical, pantheistic God so you can do whatever you want to do and follow your wicked sin, because then you don't have a book to rebuke you. In my book on the Word, God Will Keep It, I document these people that gave you the new Bibles do not believe in a inspired, preserved Bible. They want you to worship the Word. They want you to believe in the Word, but the Word is in heaven. It's mystical. It's not the Word of the Bible that's one with the Bible. So this is what the Pope's doing. They have taken the Bible away from the people. They used to just hide the Bible. Now they just retranslate it and teach you mysticism. Because they said, hey, this is a great plan. Because what does it really matter if the farmer has a Bible now? If we teach him to let his eyes roll back in his head and speak in mystical tongues and just meditate mindlessly, what does it matter? We'll teach him to hate fundamentalism. We'll teach him to not think. He'll think that thinking is bad and he'll never study the Bible. Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society in 1997 says, what is contemplative spirituality and why is it dangerous? They say the new monks, that's like this Thomas Merton that the Pope quoted, the new monks argue that God cannot be defined by systems of doctrine. Oh, I see why the Pope wants you to follow him. They maintain that Western rationalism has crushed the knowledge of God and that we must return to a more intuitively received knowledge. That when people revert back to their charismatic roots and then they start committing adultery and walking in fornication and sin, what they do is they say, I want to go back to the God I used to know, that God of my intuition, that God of my emotions. And folks, you ought to have emotion with God. You ought to have passion for God, but it has to be rooted in the written Word. Do you understand that? It has to be the God that is revealed in that Bible. That is the God that we are to follow. And when you get saved, it's because you're believing a fact. Do you understand that? An F-A-C-T. The Bible says these things were written that you might believe. That is a fact, brother. Jesus died for me. How do I know that? I know it from the Bible. I know that God became a man and died on the cross. I know that from the Bible. I know He resurrected. I know He's coming again. I know it from the Bible. I know He doesn't like sodomy. He doesn't like cross-dressing. He doesn't like effeminacy. I know all of those things from the Bible. And no wonder these people don't want you to follow the God of the Bible. We must move beyond the intellect. Beyond doctrine. You ever witnessed downtown and one of these charismatics walked up and says, oh, that's the D word. I mean, they have two things that are bad in this modern church movement. The D word and the F word. The F word is fundamentalism. That's the evil. And the D word is doctrine, that big D doctrine word. You're to stay away from that. And any time you say, well, you know, what do you believe in your doctrine? It says they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Look, brother, look what it says. Oh, that's your problem. You follow doctrine. And then you try to get them to understand. You're like, look, can I just talk to you a second here? I want to show you in the Bible. And they begin to think, and their mouth begins to open, and they realize, wait a second, I'm reasoning. No, no, that's bad. See, you must be a witch because I'm reasoning. It's wrong to reason. I'm like, have you really been taught that thinking is bad? Thinking is bad? We must move beyond the intellect, beyond doctrine, beyond words. No wonder. Because words are the thing that tell you, you got it in your conscience that sodomy is bad, but praise God you have the Word to keep you from ever getting confused about that. Amen? Thomas Merton, who is frequently cited by Manning, is the forerunner of the new monks. Oh, so the Pope comes to America, goes before Congress, and puts before you the forerunner of the new monks. That's like when the Harry Potters were written. She made sure that she gives you the name of all the great witches, the infamous witches, so you'll go study them. He popularized Jungian psychotherapy. No wonder the Pope likes him. Catholic News Agency, in June 13th, last year, full text of Pope Francis' interview with La Vanguardia. He says, a fundamental group, although it may not kill anyone, although it may not strike anyone, is violent. I know I'm getting a little long-winded. Wake up a little bit, and I want you to listen to what the Pope just said. a fundamentalist group, although it may not kill anyone, although it may not strike anyone, is violent. The mental structure of a fundamentalist is violence in the name of God. Do you realize what he just said? Now, Mr. Pope, you say you're a communist, a socialist, and a Catholic. I mean, there's been the amount of blood that's been shed by communists and Catholics. I mean, it's just, it's so much. Millions and millions and millions. How much blood has been shed by fundamentalist Christians? Well, that's not the point. You fellows are violent by your whole mental outlook. You're violent. Because fundamentalism is violence. Do you realize the insanity of that? These people are insane. They kill millions. You kill nobody. I mean, I had to see what the people thought about this. So I looked down at the comments below, and praise God, people were saying, even Catholics were saying, well, this kind of worries me what the Pope's saying, because I'm a Catholic, and I'm a diehard Catholic, but am I not to be a diehard zealous Catholic? Am I now a fundamentalist because I'm a zealous Catholic? And then they said, and I know a lot of fundamentalists, and they're the kindest people. They would never kill anybody. And so I don't understand what the Pope's saying here. I mean, the so-called good Catholics, the simple-minded Catholics that are being, you know, that are followers, even they saw the insanity of what the Pope's saying. But this is the wine, folks. Remember it says the whore pours out the wine and it makes the world drunk? This is it. Well, I learned about these fundamentalists. They got a spirit of violence. The Pope told me. And he's the Holy Father. So when they start hurting you and slandering you, then you'll understand. Fox News, January the 12th, 2015, Pope Francis on Monday denounced the religious fundamentalism that inspired the Paris massacres and ongoing Mideast conflict, saying the attackers were enslaved by deviant forms of religion. He said religious fundamentalism, even before it eliminates human beings, by perpetrating horrendous killings, eliminates God Himself. So they say you have the God of the Bible, and that eliminates God. God is outside the Bible. He's in everything. We're all God. You know what the Pope says in his pantheism. And I'll show you more that I'm not exaggerating. Jerusalem Post says the Pope blasts Christian Muslim fundamentalist while leaving Turkey. Pope Francis said on Sunday that equating Islam with violence was wrong. The Argentine Pope has been trying to foster cooperation with moderate Islam, said it was wrong for anyone to react to terrorism by being enraged against Islam. You just can't say that, just as you can't say that all Christians are fundamentalists. We have our share of them, fundamentalists. All religions have these little groups, he said. They, Muslims, say, no, we are not this. The Quran is a book of peace. It is a prophetic book of peace. So here is the Pope saying that the Quran, he agrees with them, that it is a book of peace, when all the Muslims doing is just following his book for what it literally said. And the fundamentalist Muslim will kill you because he's following the book to kill the infidels. Our Bible does not say to kill in the name of God. But here he is. He's equating Christian fundamentalists with ISIS. He needs to read his own history. He needs to read the Spanish Inquisition to find out who's more like ISIS. Here's Africa Munis, November 10th, 2014, addressed to the bishops of Senegal, etc. The Pope says, if all of us who believe in God desire to promote reconciliation, justice, and peace... Those are good things, huh? We must work together to banish every form of discrimination, intolerance, and religious fundamentalism. Oh, we got thrown in the mix there. I mean, if you want world peace, visualize world peace, you got to get rid of the fundamentalists. What do the New Agers say? They have these bumper stickers that say, visualize world peace. They basically say, if we all think positive together, we can have world peace. Oh, wait a second. Somebody is messing up our vibrations. Who is messing up? Where are these negative vibrations coming from? They are coming from those stinking fundamentalists with their negativity. Y'all are messing up Mother Earth, and y'all need to be cleansed. They need to be cleansed. The earth needs to be cleansed. Francis, in 2014, November 20th, address at the offices of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN. Here I think of our sister and mother, Earth, our planet. We must care for our sister, the earth, our mother earth, so that she does not respond with destruction. Now, how is she both your sister and your mama? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Oh, wait a second. Mary is both your sister and your mama, and she's also the wife of God, plus she's the new Eve, said John Paul II. So this is this pantheistic, total, warped paganism. And Alexander Hislop was right when he showed it's from ancient Babylon, folks. It's the same paganism from ancient Babylon, and it's back here again, the worship of the earth. Notice what he said here. We must care for our sister, the earth, our mother earth, so that she does not respond with destruction. Brother Sopek, when the floods continue to happen and the earthquakes and the droughts and the tornadoes and the horrible calamities, is it God getting angry? No. Is it God getting angry at the Pope attacking fundamentalism? No. It's Mother Earth. She's upset. Now, I do believe we ought to take care of our earth in a reasonable way. You ought to be a steward of this earth. You ought to be a steward of the animals, a steward of our food. I'm not into poisoning everything and these insane ways that everybody's doing. But, hey, I'm not going to worship a tree, folks. I'm not going to call this earth my mama. You understand that? I'm not going to follow this New Age paganism, this goddess worship, and that's where we're going. Basically, this worship of Mary, this goddess worship, whether you worship the earth or worship Mary, it's this paganism that the Pope is bringing. And now you understand why Revelation 6 says when Jesus finally comes in the sunrise of His final appearing to destroy the world, they see the wrath of the Lamb. What do all the kings and leaders and great men of the earth do? They run to the rocks and say, fall on us. Hide us from the face of the Lamb, for the day of His wrath has come. Folks, do you realize what people are doing? They are worshiping the earth. They are praying to the earth. They have become pantheists. I'll close with this quote from the AmericanCatholic.com. These people are Catholics. And they say, in its popular sense, the accusation of fundamentalism often comes across as mere sneering at people who seem to be more religious than thou. So they are rebuking the Pope. They're saying, now this is ridiculous. When people accuse people of being a fundamentalist, it just means they have higher standards than you do. So let's say you like to go dance at a club and drink alcohol, but your cousin, who are Christians, say that you ought not do that. And they say, oh, they're those fundamentalists, you know. Fundamentalist is a word for somebody that has standards higher than you in a particular area. So, fundamentalists believe in creation, a literal creation. We believe in a literal Bible, and we believe the Catholic Church is the Whore of Babylon. Well, no wonder they don't like fundamentalism, because we're going to expose their paganism, we're going to expose their New World Order, and we're going to expose their one world religion. So these Catholics go on to say, it is good that Pope Francis is tolerant, because if he was not so self-proclaimed tolerant, one might suspect that the Pope is intolerant of fundamentalists, who he stereotypes into stick villains. Well, I'm sure we have a lot of disagreements, my American Catholic fellow citizen here, but at least they're right. The Pope is certainly saying, I'm so tolerant, we must be tolerant, we must love one another, we must join together and hate those fundamentalists. So I'm tolerant of everything but the fundamentalists. The homosexuals talk about love and peace as they hate the fundamentalists. Everybody hates the fundamentalists. Hey folks, you're hated by everybody except for God. Amen? Amen. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. I pray we're living right and living up to the name. I do pray. The purpose of my sermon is not just to expose this wicked Pope and his Antichrist Jesuit propaganda. You know what my purpose is today, folks? It's to keep you, to plead with you from ever embracing this spirit. You must know that this witchcraft is in the movies, it's in the Pope's words, it's saturating the churches now. And I promise, it's sorcery. It's a bewitching. And you can pick up this spirit. And you can go off in rebellion. And you could be a young fellow or a young woman or even an old one. And you can leave and say, I left fundamentalism. They weren't teaching me about God. I was into a book, but now I've learned God. Isn't it amazing that you're drinking alcohol and now you're immodest and now you're committing adultery and walking in fornication and smoking pot? But you know God now. You didn't know Him before. When you were happy and smiling and had the joy of the Lord and praise God, you were a good testimony. But now you know God in your bitterness and in your depression and in your anger. Oh, people, don't fall into that, please. Let nobody deceive you with smooth words and good and fair speeches saying peace, peace. When they come and tell you peace, peace, you just say there is no peace to the wicked. There is no rest. There is no peace to the wicked. Dear Father, we thank You. Let us not be wicked, Lord. Let us not follow this propaganda that we see is being poured forth from the words of this Jesuit Pope and from the whore of Babylon. I do pray that every Christian in this room and every believer that hears this message will understand a little bit of how this propaganda works, Father. For You tell us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices and he comes as an angel of light. You said in the last days they're going to allure through the lust of the flesh. Help them know, Father. Help us to get out from under this propaganda, but help us be able to expose it, Lord, to reprove these unfruitful works of darkness and not be partakers of them. Dear Holy Father, I do pray nobody will backslide. I pray that no wives will leave their husband and follow what this wicked world tells them to do. I pray that no children will backslide, Lord. I pray that You'll give us a renewed love for You, Father. Oh, the God of the Bible, Father, I thank You that You're the God of the book. I thank You that we have this sure word of prophecy, as Peter said, Lord. He didn't even trust his eyes, Lord. He said that we have a more sure word of prophecy, and I thank You so much for the book, Father. I thank You so much that You've given us a Bible, and we can walk in that word and know You. And Lord, help us to remember that if we keep Your commandments, we're showing our love to You, Lord. As You said, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And this is how we love the children of God, that we love God and keep His commandments. Father, let us not be deceived by this counterfeit love, this counterfeit liberty, this great seduction. Oh, we're in the midst of the falling away, Lord. Father, I thank You that You've made me a preacher for this time, Lord. God, I do pray that You help me sound the alarm, be a trumpet to show Your people this danger, and help us, God. Help us to live according to the book. Thank You for the blood of Jesus, by which we might be saved. I thank You, Father, for the gospel. I do thank You for the saving gospel, the wonderful grace that You've poured out Your blood for us, that we might simply believe and be saved for all eternity. Oh Lord, we ought to be fundamentalists for You, God. We ought to be stirred up and zealous and fiery. Oh Lord, we got to speak the truth in love. But Father, not compromise. Help us to not compromise. Stir up this church. Increase us. Bless us. We love You, Lord. Come quickly. Let us be ready in the name of Jesus, the Lord. Amen. 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 Oh, Christian, you go.